This is Pastor Terry Makeland from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Freeman, South Dakota, where word and sacrament for the care of souls, enabling good works for our vocations. Thank you for listening, and here is our latest sermon from Sunday.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We have in our readings today a couple of wrestling matches. Jacob, who wrestles with God before the Jabbok, and the Canaanite woman, who wrestles with God, Jesus, with the demon possession of her daughter. This connection to you and I, of course, is that we too wrestle with God. It might not be the same situations or the same issues, but dare I say, as many as there are people here listening with the going-ons in our lives, we each have something we wrestle with God, whether it's a sin we can't shake or an event in our lives that we're suffering from, or perhaps even wrestling with the possibility of death. But we, each of us on this planet Earth, not just us here, wrestle with God's holy word. Some, their faith is strengthened by it, and some, their faith, they reject it for their own understanding. Now, concerning the gospel reading, I don't know if you've ever been so worried about a loved one like the Canaanite woman was. They can be quite gut-wrenching. And you would probably challenge any doctor or nurse or even God himself to get the care that you think your child needs. Not to say that your child was demon-possessed, but it could be that they were in a really severe car accident, or they were diagnosed with cancer, or maybe they were behaving that you might consider they might be demon-possessed. I mean, when it is your kid, you're all in. You are all in, and you get pretty aggressive. It's terrible when our kids suffer, be it from their own hand or from the hands of the world. But our readings today can also be, they're written for our comfort and for our instruction. And you don't have to be a parent to catch the lessons that Jesus is teaching here, to wrestle with here. This could be anyone of any time when the things of this world are attacking a loved one and where the threat of sin, death, and the devil is raising its ugly head. Now, one of the first things I'd like to point out is that this Canaanite woman was not deserving. Now, before you think I'm being mean, Jesus said so himself. After ignoring her at first, and after even ignoring the disciples when they were complaining about her, and when she continued to call out to him, he says, "I was sent here only for the lost sheep of Israel." And some of us, we might be going, wait a minute. Because God says in the Old Testament reading, there are plenty of references where the Messiah is going to be for all nations, not just the house of Israel. And even Jesus himself, when he ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples, go out into all nations, not just the house of Israel, to baptize and to teach. The readings and teachings of Scripture are clear that while the Israelites were the chosen people, Jesus came to redeem all of mankind, all of creation in the since the fall, and restore all of life. So yeah, I can understand where you might think it's a little harsh to say that the Canaanite woman was undeserving, and Jesus didn't really mean what he said. Yet Jesus did come for the lost sheep of Israel. He was speaking those very words a very short time before he himself would go to Jerusalem as the lost sheep of Israel, as the lamb, sacrificial lamb who takes away all the sin of the whole world and the fulfillment of the moral, sacrificial, and ceremonial laws of Moses. So how do we reconcile this? Well, I wrestled with this. But it's kind of like this. Jesus, if he would have took away the demon possession and granted her wish like a genie out of a bottle, or if he would have left the demon possession of her daughter and continued to ignore her no matter what how she pleaded or cried out, it would not detract Jesus Christ from that mission right there, of heading to the cross. It would make no difference whether he listened to her or not in the redemption of all mankind. It would not make his precious blood any more precious, nor would it detract from. He was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel to fulfill all prophecies, and nothing at all would detract him from doing just that. This then, what he's talking about with the gal, was so that she would wrestle with her faith. So then we think, oh, okay, so the Canaanite woman, she became deserving because she was so clever, right? She took the insult from Jesus when he basically called her a dog. She wasn't a child of the house of Israel, just like everybody else. And she kind of even trapped him with his own words, right? Pretty clever, right? Yes, Lord, but yet even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. And so that's it. That's what she did to make her deserving. It was her consistency, her persistency that prevailed. It was Jacob, when he refused to give up, is why he prevailed. She plain wore him down. Nagging works. And cleverly convinced him that she deserved a seat at the table, and that's why her daughter would be healed. Therefore, that's what we need to do, is when he dishes up something we don't like, we just simply need to nag God. No. I suppose that's a good argument if you were talking about a regular man of power or a judge who she was trying to convincing and not the Son of God. I mean, it'd be like Job arguing with God, saying that Job knew better than God in his self to judge. It'd be like you and me when God's grace and goodness is kind of hidden behind our present sufferings and dangers, and our despair is so great that we would hypothetically make a deal with the devil himself if we could get the results we wanted. No matter what we need, no matter what is best for us, we want what we want. But that would miss the point. Jesus wasn't rejecting her pleas because he had to be convinced. He was rejecting her pleas in order for her to wrestle with her faith. By the way, don't ever underestimate God. But this is what happens to you and I when it's, say, a major health issue or when something bad happens to us, isn't it? Especially when our suffering reveals our sinfulness or our mortality. In our helplessness, we wrestle against this thing called sin and the payment of sin, which is death. And it shakes our core, it shakes our faith. And we ask ourselves, what exactly do we believe? And we wrestle with God. Oh, sure, we still have some faith and hope in our health care system, even though that seems to be eroding in recent deceptions. But generally speaking, we will do whatever the doctors say, whatever they recommend, without much questioning. If there's even a chance that this will take our loved ones or save our loved ones' life. The doctors, on the other hand, who have been given to us by God in order to preserve life, and with all their wisdom and skills and technology, I mean, they get a chance to exercise their craft. It sounds like a win-win situation, doesn't it? Unfortunately, but no matter if death is put off for a short time or if death is put off for a long time, it still comes eventually. And we need to wrestle with that. No matter what we or the doctors do, we will all be forced in our mortality one day. And the question to wrestle with is, what do we believe? In whom do I ultimately trust and hope? This is the Canaanite woman. Well, it's not a doctor she's pleading with, it's Jesus. Like her, we must confess that we actually don't deserve anything good at the hands of God. I mean, we don't deserve our life. We didn't choose to be born and conceived. We didn't rescue ourselves from the ills and the toils of the world. Even with the hubris that we have this hubris that we think we earn everything that we have. And these are gifts from God. Even with that hubris, we are simply, in reality, given things by God through means simply out of his loving goodness. Rather, what we do is we sin against him. We despise him. Despite his love he shows for us, like, isn't this what we confess before a divine service, where we confess in the corporate confession and absolution, right? We confess that we deserve his present and eternal punishment. But do we believe that fully? We confess that this is what we deserve, but Jesus' response to the Canaanite woman kind of causes us to wrestle with this fact when he says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It's a challenge to us when we're confronted with the suffering or with fear or with or something else that goes on, and we're forced to wrestle with that. We too are but cursed mongrels. We would rather bite the hand that feeds us than lick it. Yet our faith is strengthened by these struggles and wrestling. This is our cross. This is our cross that shows us by faith that God is merciful. Our crosses point us to the work of Jesus upon his cross, that the Father would send his only begotten Son to die for us, that he would be tempted just like us and go through the trials that we couldn't possibly undergo and survive. Even death upon a cross, forces us to wrestle with the fact that even while we still sin, he died for us, in love for us. And this Canaanite woman knew well, even though she didn't have the advantage of knowing he would go to the cross, but she knew by faith that God, the Lord of all creation, she was wrestling with the reality of the sufferings of life, that God wants to heal us. He wants what is best for us. When she responded with, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table," she appealed to God that even though she was undeserving, as we all are, that God hears the cry of mankind in our sufferings, and he will and does respond in his own course, in his own way, for what's best for us. So in Christ's, as Christians, we have Christ's suffering and his bitter sufferings and death that before us, and his glorious resurrection promise that therefore we have more to base our faith on than this Canaanite woman did or Jacob did. We know that the good Lord is doing what is best for us always, and he sent his very own son for you and I to claim us in the waters of holy baptism, and even death, if it's the result of our sufferings, he's going to raise us up on the last day. There is nothing that will come in between the love he has for us. And we say this in the confession and absolution as well. I pray you by your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, bitter suffering and death of your only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. We recognize we don't deserve it. His response, it's not the response to the Canaanite woman, but it's very, very similar with his response when you hear his voice through the called and ordained servants of the word saying, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven." Or he says, "Take, eat, take, drink." This is like he is saying to you, "Oh woman, your faith is great, and you are healed instantly." Yeah, so in these times of need, we pray, we wrestle, and we meditate on God's word of promise, just like that Canaanite woman. Even if it looks like his answer is no, we pray to him to just throw us a crumb. Throw us a crumb, Lord. By the way, this is why we're gathered here today. On this day, in his name, on the day of his resurrection, to prepare ourselves for the eventuality that we will wrestle with the word of God to strengthen our faith. We don't know exactly what's coming towards us, what we'll encounter in our lives, or even when, but we do know someday we will suffer. Someday we'll suffer something. And these are just the crosses of life. Part of living in this fallen world, but we also know by faith, but a loving God who provides our very breath and life and everything that we need to sustain it, has claimed us in that redeemed life by the very blood of the Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world, and who out freely, without any charge, through the Holy Spirit, gives to you in word and sacrament in times of need. Even though we are helpless, he is not. And he rules over life and death. He is yoked to us as we bear these crosses. And he will even walk us through the grave, through the other side, into eternal life on the last day. And he is the only one who's ever done this. So most of all, we just trust and hope that our Father will do what is best to us and for us because of his great mercy through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.